It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With the proliferation of television channels, you're bound to find a wide variety of holiday programming. For many, this time of year means the annual viewing of some classic holiday specials. Here to tell us about the stories behind some of the great and not-so-great holiday specials is Joe Wose, founder and curator of the Toonzeum Gallery in Pittsburgh's Cultural District. Joe, good to have you back with us.
Always nice to be here.
So what is the secret to holiday classics remaining truly timeless?
Well, they have to have sort of a universal story and universal characters. I think that's one of the secrets, especially of Peanuts, is, you know, Charlie Brown is who we all are, Snoopy's who we want to be. So I think there's if you look at a lot of the great specials, they have this underlying theme of being underappreciated. Their characters with certain talents, and they just have this feeling of being neglected. And that's a universal feeling, and we want to be able to overcome that.
As long as you brought up Charlie Brown, let's listen to a clip from what is truly one of the classic animated Christmas shows.
We're back.
Boy, are you stupid, Charlie Brown.
What kind of a tree is that?
You are supposed to get a good tree. Can't you even tell a good tree from a poor tree?
I told you we'd goof it up. He's not the kind you can depend on to do anything right.
You're hopeless, Charlie Brown. Completely hopeless.
Rats!
You've been dumb before, Charlie Brown, but this time you really did it.
What a treat!
And, of course, that's the classic scene from the Charlie Brown Christmas special where he gets the little tiny tree that he feels just needs a little love. And I'm kind of getting choked up thinking about it.
Yeah.
The kids are laughing at him, but in the end they realize that he made the right choice.
And that's sort of the theme you're going to see throughout these Christmas specials is, you know, this idea of being laughed at and ridiculed like Rudolph, like Charlie Brown, and then sort of this act of redemption that people realize that same thing that made them flawed is actually what makes them special and incredible.
And how integral to the Charlie Brown specials, the Christmas one, but the others too, including the Halloween one, is that soundtrack with Vince Guaraldi on the piano. That adds so much to it.
The show almost didn't air.
Really?
They took a lot of risk, starting with the soundtrack. It's a slow pace. You know, you got to remember cartoons are this fast pace, bam, 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 bam. Here they are slowing it way down. They're doing Christmas songs with few or no lyrics throughout the show. They have, you know, maybe one or two that they actually sing, but the one is the most iconic, you know, that Linus and Lucy has no lyrics to it, and it's still played to this day. And they use children's voices as the actual voiceovers.
And that's perfect. And they're always – they match the characters perfectly, don't they?
Well, yes, but it was taking hundreds of takes, you know, in some cases with these little kids, and they had to give them breaks. And it was a lot of effort, and CBS, you know, looked at this and said, you can't use kids' voices. You can't use this music, and especially you can't have one of the main characters come out and read from the Gospel of Luke. You know, that iconic scene with Linus
yeah.
You know, saying the real meaning of Christmas. Here is a show saying, you know, what's wrong with Christmas is it's become too commercial, and now a word from our sponsor. So they didn't want to air it. They said that they had an obligation to their sponsors, and then the show comes along and basically says, you know, all this sponsorship, all this commercialism, this is what's wrong with Christmas, and yet it became this iconic classic.
And why did it? What made it resonate with people and make it – I mean, because it started when? In the 60s, and it's still on today?
Yeah, it's still on today. It took classic characters – Peanuts characters, you know, holding their popularity to this very day. The wisdom of using children's voices so that young children actually identified with it a lot stronger. These weren't silly cartoon voices. These were real children. And they really identified. And it became a tradition that, you know, my parents shared it with me. I share it with my kids. And it's going to carry on for generations to come. Wizard of Oz, long since gone from airing, you know, every year on CBS. And you know, a lot of those shows have long since passed, but you still have this tradition of these Christmas specials. Despite DVD, despite internet, you still air it on TV. That's remarkable.
Let's talk about another classic Christmas show, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and we'll listen to a clip from that great program.
Hey, you're okay.
She said I'm cute. Ha ha!
Come on.
For crying out loud.
Fireball, what's the matter?
Get away from me.
Now, what's this nonsense here, Bucks? After all, yeah!
Hey, look at the beak.
Hey, buy us new.
Rainbow paws,
right now.
Stop calling me names.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
Donner, you should be ashamed of yourself. What a pity. He had a nice takeoff, too.
All right, now, yearlings, back to practice. Oh, no, not you. You better go home with your folks. From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games, right?
As the song goes, and, of course, Rudolph would save the day in this story, which is the moral of this story is telling us what, Joe?
The moral of the story is telling us, number one, that we're all a little bit of a misfit. Now, we all have ways we don't fit in. And we're saying we need to recognize those talents. I think that's one of the great messages is this idea that, you know, your nose glows or you have trouble at math or whatever it is that makes you that misfit is actually something that can ultimately empower you. You just have to find how to use the talents that you do have. And that really is the message, I think, of that story.
And this wasn't an animated show per se. But to explain how they displayed these characters.
This is stop motion puppets. So they actually built these, you know, actual three-dimensional objects and then process by process of just moving them a little bit of a time, similar to animation, same concept, and then would just keep filming those. And again, this is another one that almost didn't get made. Johnny Marks, who was the person who wrote Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, refused to have this turned into a cartoon. He thought it was just a bad idea. They had done one prior to this, and he just hated it. And he said, no, I just don't want to do it. But Arthur Rankin literally lived up the street from him of Rankin Bass mm-hmm. and showed up at his door, knocking on the door, saying, you have to let us do this. Here's the kind of thing we want to do. And when he saw what they wanted to do, he just fell in love with the idea and said, okay, you can take the song.
And what everybody remembers about it is how cool all of the stop motion puppetry looks.
Yeah, it's such a unique style and lent itself so well that to this very day we sort of associate it with Christmas classics, that style is the animation that is the most popular.
We're talking with Joe Woese, founder and curator of the Toonzeum Gallery here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. Let's talk about another show that we all talk about as we talked about it as kids. We watched it and we still watch it as grown-ups today for sure. It's The Grinch That Stole Christmas, voiced by Boris Karloff.
Yes, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch, that great voice. But what a lot of people forget is that the singing voice was Thurl Ravenscroft.
Who's famous for being?
He's famous for being they're great. Tony the Tiger.
Tony the Tiger.
He also did a lot of the voices for, if you ever ride down at Disney World, the Haunted Mansion, the song Grim Grinning Ghost
right.
is by him. So he did a lot there. But his voice, his name, was left off all the credits.
Now, why was that? So Boris Karloff is playing the character of the Grinch, and it's the Grinch who's singing the song, but they decided to use another voice for the singing because I guess Boris Karloff's voice wasn't so great as a singing voice?
He was a very talented actor. He had a lousy singing voice.
Okay.
And there was a lot of speculation, and still to this very day, that Boris Karloff did not want someone else to get credit. And that doesn't seem to be true. It actually turns out that Boris Karloff actually took out ads in all the trade magazines after the show ran and Ravenscroft was left off. Boris Karloff took out ads in the trade magazines thanking him for doing the singing voice. So obviously, I guess that story is not true, but you'd had a lot of people that speculated that was the reason. They say it was just a slip-up. But to say it was a slip-up just seems like how do you let something that big sort of slide through?
Well, one thing they always said about Boris Karloff was he was a nice guy, nothing like the Frankenstein monster. It was certainly one of the better-known holiday tales is A Christmas Carol, the Dickens classic.
Yes.
And that got its own animated treatment in what was a groundbreaking special at the time. Explain what we're talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Magoo. Mr. Magoo's Christmas came out in 1962 and was really the first animated Christmas special. There had been other specials that had run on the air that were live action, but this was the first time they did an animated cartoon created exclusively for television. And they took the story of the Christmas Carol, putting Mr. Magoo in the lead, and then did
voiced by Jim Backus, yeah.
Who really took a character he had developed in a lot of his stage acts that was this really a dirty old man as the initial character. They took it, they toned it way, way down. Rather than have it be Mr. Magoo in A Christmas Carol, it's Jim Backus as Mr. Magoo, as Ebenezer Scrooge in this stage play. So they find a way to still let it be Mr. Magoo is portraying an actor who is portraying Ebenezer Scrooge. So they had this framework built around it. And it's I still love that show. It's one that's not aired every year. You do have to get it on DVD or watch it on the internet. But it is a classic with a classic voice and a classic character.
I would just – on a personal note, it is my absolute favorite. How would you rank it as compared to some of the others?
I rank it in that top three. I put it above Rudolph but not above Charlie Brown. Just personal taste, and I absolutely love Charlie Brown. I just came back from the Charles M. Schulz Museum where I spent every Thanksgiving, so can't put anything above Snoopy.
Peanuts gets the gold. Now, the big question here, Joe, is could these classics be made in today's culture?
No. I mean, they really couldn't. We live in such a politically correct culture that, I mean, certainly Peanuts is out the first one thrown out the window. You have a character who is reciting gospel passages. Can't happen. We also live, you know, in a society where we really probably for the better take a closer look when we're poking fun at things that are handicaps. Should we be making fun of a character because he has big ears, like in New Year's Eve,
or Mr. Magoo,
or Mr.
Has
Magoo
bad
who
eyesight.
Is really, you know, would be legally blind? And I think we look at those things now closer, probably for the better. But it does sometimes hinder. You know, there's that line of when is it okay? When is that humor have a positive message in the end? And I think Rudolph's the example of, you know, how you can take those things and address them and show how it can be a talent.
One last quick question. What is your favorite holiday animated special song?
My favorite song is, actually from Mr. Magoo. there's the song where they sing about the pudding and they keep throwing it in there, just at these weird moments. They throw, and some, what is it,
Razzleberry
pudding, yes. Would be nice. You know, I love that. I think I'm going to start working that in a casual conversation.
Okay. Joe Woese is founder and curator of the Toonzeum. Joe, thanks for joining us. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.